You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Professor Davis Logsdon of the University of Minnesota is one of the nation's foremost experts in the field of financial swindles and Ponzi schemes. His new book, Madoff with Billions, How Bernard Madoff Created History's Biggest Ponzi Scheme and Almost Got Away with It, is published by Oldenthum Press, and it is my pleasure to welcome Professor Logsdon back to the show. It's always a pleasure to see you.
It's good to be back again. You know, and Leonard, I have to tell you, since I was last on, all of my colleagues at the University of Minnesota in the economics department started listening to the show. We obviously don't get it in Minnesota, but we can listen to it on WNYC.org. And you've become sort of a hero there, because every day we'll go into our break room in between classes and we'll listen to you. And everybody is saying in the department, they're a very buttoned up, as you can imagine, buttoned down group of people, but they said, what is Leonard Lopate like? What's he really like since you've met him? And I said, he is much sexier in person. But I just wanted to put that out there because
go to Minnesota, at least I know that I might have some fun.
You will be very desired, my friend. You will. But anyway, we're talking about something serious today, but I just had to put that out there.
We've heard a lot about Ponzi schemes lately, but what exactly is a Ponzi scheme?
Well, you know, there's some misconceptions about that. The Ponzi scheme really derives from a gentleman named Charles Ponzi, an Italian gentleman at the beginning of the last century, who enticed investors into a scheme based on the theory that he was doing a special kind of arbitrage. He claimed he was dealing in foreign postal certificates, if you will, and he was playing the difference between the exchange rates, which is a classic arbitrage play. Actually, what he was doing was he was using new investors' money to pay off the old investors, which is great when times are good. But when times are bad and it's time to pay the piper, the skeleton in the closet comes home to roost. And that's what happened with him.
Well, it was based on a plausible scenario. And don't all Ponzi schemes rely on a certain amount of plausibility?
They do. In general, if you promise insane results, people are suspicious. So the key is to make your scheme seem very as conservative and as reasonable as possible. And that, of course, in my book, Madoff with Billions, I'm talking about the most notorious Ponzi scheme to date, which is the Bernard Madoff case.
Well, in his case, the plausibility perhaps was made more reasonable by the fact that he'd been the head of NASDAQ. How could you even question somebody who had been in that position?
Well, this is a classic component of a successful Ponzi scheme. In the case of Charles Ponzi, he, of course, was dealing in a quasi governmental security. It was these foreign postal certificates, if you will. And the same thing to a certain degree with Madoff. He had been on the NASDAQ board, and so no one would dare question his rectitude. And I think it's very necessary for a good con to work. You really do have to inspire confidence in the person you're conning.
Before you wrote this book, weren't you one of the first people to flag Bernard Madoff's investment program as a Ponzi scheme?
Well, I was and I wasn't. I can't take full credit because we were working at the University of Minnesota as a team. And it's always, I think, as you would acknowledge, Leonard, you don't do this show alone. You have people working for you. And I, in fact, had the entire department, and we came up with a mathematical formula, and I won't get too heady and too mathy about it, but it was basically P to the on to the Z. And this really is a formula that sniffs out any Ponzi scheme. And what we plug into this formula are certain things like the variation from year to year of the results, the length of time in which these results were guaranteed. Because the fact is, Leonard, we know how the market goes up and down. I don't know if you've looked at your 401k recently.
I'm afraid to.
Mine is more like a 101k, if you pardon the humor. It's sort of an economics joke, if you will. But we look at the variation, and if there's very little variation in return from year to year, that is another classic sign that we are looking not at a real investment, but at a Ponzi scheme.
So you saw that Bernard Madoff was doing that, and then you try to reveal it. And then what happened? Were people paying any attention?
No. We were like a grain of sand crying in the wilderness. We contacted the SEC. And we are not alone in this either, Leonard. There are other people who were on top of this, but I think it was in good times, people don't want to hear that there are cracks in the ocean. And that is what was becoming very clear here was that the SEC didn't want to hear it. They wanted to hear that things were good. And so, again, we came out ahead. That is why I was able to put together this book, Madoff with Billions, so quickly, because this really is the culmination of several years of research.
Well, now you're saying there's an even bigger Ponzi scheme out there, another crack in the ocean?
Well, this scheme, Leonard, has all the components of the other Ponzi schemes. It deals with inspiring confidence in the investor because it deals with the most buttoned-down possible institution. It also deals with incredibly steady returns over a period of time. And then the thing that really sort of made all the alarm bells in our P to the on to the Z formula go off was the fact that it has been going on for a long time, decades, in fact. And
decades. Usually these Ponzi schemes fall apart after a fairly brief time because you just can't. They become too extended, can't
well,
don't they?
Well, that is true. This is a case, and I know your readers or listeners, rather, have probably been reading a lot about this on the internet, especially this morning, because this morning is when the story has really broken. It's been greatly overshadowed by the G20 story and the whole Madonna adoption story. But this is something that has been going on for a long time. Essentially, the Department of the Treasury has been engaged in a Ponzi scheme whereby they have been producing worthless pieces of paper, and they've been getting new investors essentially to pay off the returns due the old investors. They've been selling instruments, financial instruments. They're sometimes called U.S. Treasury bills. Sometimes they're simply
T-bills.
Just called T-bills. They're very widely. Sadly to say, they're more widely known.
I was always told to take my money out of the market and put it into T-bills.
Well, just as many people were told, you know, invest with Uncle Bernie, this was supposed to be the safest investment. You've heard of T-bills, U.S. Treasuries. Sometimes they're just simply called Treasuries.
So invest with Uncle Sam.
With Uncle Sam. Sadly, there's a little maxim at the University of Minnesota, which we say, if something is too good to be true, shame on you. And that is something that we've learned, which is that essentially these are worthless instruments. They're just pieces of paper. And we had been involved in notifying the authorities. We had a little bit more success this time because we went directly to the FBI. And the FBI, as of this morning, and this is what's been reported this morning, they are talking to Treasury officials. Timothy Geithner, I guess, who is overseas with President Obama, I want to make it very clear, he has not been arrested. He is what the FBI is calling a person of interest. My theory...
Well, he just recently came to the Treasury.
Absolutely.
How long has this thing been going on?
This has been going on, we believe... I will just come out with it. We really think it's been going on now for a couple of centuries. We think it may have been instituted...
Oh, so this is a nonpartisan thing. This is Democrats and Republicans.
There has definitely been a worm in the pie for some time. We believe it may have been instituted by, and this is a name actually from American history, Alexander Hamilton may have been the person who started this. And it's just been one of these things. It was probably not a scam when it started, but the Treasury probably had a bad year, and that's when they had to start printing worthless paper to keep the scam going.
My guest is Professor Davis Logsdon of the University of Minnesota, author of Madoff with Billions from Olanthem Press. And this is WNYC, WNYC.org. Some of the schemes that we've seen in the past are really convoluted. Is this complicated?
It's as simple as Bernard Madoff's scam. In the case of the U.S. Treasury bills, it all comes down to, can we print more paper? And the answer is, yes, we can. We just put it in the printing press, and essentially you continue to generate new revenue just by luring people in the market. The people have been wiped out by the Madoff scam. I think they were not in any way gullible investors. They were savvy. But again, the same people and more so have been ripped off by this. For example, the president of China says he has lost everything. And that's a very sophisticated gentleman.
Now, Bernie Madoff has lived high off the hog as a result of his scheme. Who's getting all the money here?
You know, it's very hard to say. It's very hard to say who's become wealthiest in the United States government. I think you have to look at, with Bernie Madoff, he had a lot of trappings of wealth that were very easy to detect. For example, a yacht this morning was confiscated in Fort Lauderdale. I think in the United States government, you'd have to say who has the best vehicles, the best sort of, who is living large, as we say at the economics department. I would have to argue that some people, perhaps at the White House, historically, they have their own private planes that they go to and fro various places, the president and the vice president. I'm not saying the money has been funneled directly to them, but they have certainly been living a very high standard of living based on these phony Treasury instruments.
Well, many presidents leave the White House with a lot more money than they had when they entered.
That's true.
So this is something. This is one of the perks for being president of the United States?
It would be very sinister and sort of a conspiracy theory to say that, you know, there's some secret handshake that one president takes the other president to the Oval Office and says, by the way, one of the sweet things about this job is that you are going to be able to skim, if you will, the cream from the top of this pot of gold. I don't have evidence that that is taking place, but clearly, numerically, the money is going somewhere. And I think that's what the FBI is going to try to get to the bottom of.
Well, what should individual investors do if they're victims of this scheme?
Well, I think it just comes down to asset allocation. I think it's all right to invest partially in a Ponzi scheme as long as you're investing in other things, for example, your state lottery, for example, or maybe some in New York off-track betting. You have that as an option. You want to create sort of a pie chart and say, I'm going to put 30% in a Ponzi scheme, 30% in the lottery, and 30% in off-track betting. And then if one of those tent poles, if you will, comes tumbling down, you're not going to be left on a life raft.
Do you know if this is on the agenda for discussion in the G20 talks?
You know, I think that at the G20, they have bigger fish to chew over than Treasury bills, because what currently is going on in the G20, because of the economic downturn, they are debating whether or not the G20 needs to downsize and perhaps become the G17. And so what you have is a game of musical chairs here where three of these countries are going to leave the G20 and they're no longer to be at the table anymore. And I think that is sort of that's the 800-pound gorilla that's hanging over the entire conference.
Just one more thing, Professor Logsdon, before you go. Is all of this going to be addressed in the new economic package that is going through Congress?
I think what is so gigantic about this, it's one of these gigantic issues. It's hard to say whether or not a package could be large enough to encompass it all. And I know that President Obama has been very, very cagey about the size of his package. And I think that he will continue to be so.
And I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Professor Davis Logsdon of the University of Minnesota, author of Madoff with Billions from Olanthem Press. It's been a real pleasure.
You're welcome.
In case you didn't figure it out, that was Andy Borowitz of the famous Borowitz Report. He will be looking, by the way, at President Obama's first 100 days in office on Thursday, April 30th at the 92nd Street Y. For more information on that, you can visit our show page at wnyc.org. And thanks a lot, Andy. Up next, Amnesty International. By the way, it is a Ponzi scheme, isn't it?
It totally is.
Totally is. While you were telling me it, I thought, gee, this really is a Ponzi scheme.
I have one word for you. Mattress. Mattress. Put it in your mattress.
Up next, Amnesty International Executive Director Larry Cox describes what happens to the 300,000 immigrants who are detained each year. And he's joined by Hector Veloz, a U.S. citizen who was detained for 13 months. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.